My name is Felicia Fuller. I work for the Alzheimer's Association in Chicago. That's where the national office is. And I was told I needed to put this as my second slide, so there it is. I have no relationships to disclose. The Alzheimer's Association and the CDC started this relationship, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, and it was thought that cognitive health is a public health issue. So the two organizations came together and formed this cooperative agreement. And to date, it's the end of our first 5 years of the cooperative agreement. And I just wrote the grant and has been funded for another 5 years. And this is will be an ongoing relationship that we are thinking to promote brain health in at-risk communities as well as the general public. There's different aspects of the initiative. It's a multi-level, pretty well-funded grant. There's a survey component with the BRFSS, a cognitive impairment module that we are incorporating in state BRFSS. And then there's some of you may know, there's a roadmap that's on CDC's website that was put together. But for the purposes of this presentation, I'm going to talk about the demonstration projects, which were a pretty big chunk of the first 5 years. Our target population, because of health disparities and the rising amount of African Americans with cognitive impairment, African American baby boomers became the target population. Our sites, there was an RFP procedure where our chapters for the Alzheimer's Association wrote grants. Los Angeles and Atlanta were able to handle the grants, so those were our two target sites. We've handed over 2,000 brochures, posters, champions, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. We had over 700 people that were educated through the intervention, and strategic partners, I'll talk a little bit about that, but mostly those are community leaders. We had 50 in combined sites. Stakeholders. The first stakeholders were, of course, the association, the Alzheimer's Association, and the CDC, who came to this cooperative agreement at the national level. The intermediate level includes our public health people that work at Chicago that give me guidance and advice at the national level. We have also Macro International, or they are now called ICF Macro in Atlanta, a consultant firm that are public health colleagues that help me and assist me in running the project. And we also had the external advisory group, who are a group of national leaders in the fields of health disparities, cognitive health, Alzheimer's, that are throughout the country, who have continued to advise the intervention as it could go on. Community leadership, we also had a number of people at our different chapters that also came together to advise the project. And as I've talked about, our community demonstration sites were in Los Angeles and Atlanta. So we had a very huge planning and development phase to this intervention, which, as you may know, is how CDC likes it. Main objectives were, for the community, we just wanted an awareness of brain health. We saw that the community didn't even know what brain health was. And to be honest, before I took the position a few years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, I was a public health person with a DRPH and it was not taught to me at all. So it's an emerging, although it's been there, an emerging public health issue. So we also wanted to increase the knowledge and awareness again in the community of the connection between vascular risk and overall health and potentially brain health. We also, part of what we wanted to do was to get these groups of community leaders in each community, so the development and the establishment of what we call strategic partners, as well as Healthy Brain Champions, which are participants of the project who attended these workshops. Each site did 3 workshops. They were 4-hour workshops that a whole curriculum was based for. We wanted to increase their knowledge and awareness of physical activity, vascular risk, and other protective behaviors. But we knew we couldn't change behavior, as you may know, but we did want to change their intentions to change their behavior. And I think, I'm pretty sure we did that. Lastly, one reason you choose baby boomers is we can't really say we can prevent Alzheimer's or cognitive impairment, but you want this particular population to start changing behavior now, and they also are at a pivotal part of the community in that they still may have senior parents as well as grandchildren themselves or children, that they can disperse this information throughout the community. So our key messages was, of course, with the experts who did the lit review and our consultants, we found our key core was physical activity, not crossword puzzles. And social activity is good, but if you had to pick one thing to do to have cognitive health and brain health, I'm sorry, you have to exercise. You have to move your body pretty much every single day. Every single day, you got to sweat. That was probably hardest to portray to our participants. So these kind of messages, exercising 30 minutes, walking, that was all a part of the curriculum. The next part, the second part was the vascular risk, which this particular community has been pretty much educated about these particular things, blood pressure, cholesterol, and diabetes. They're pretty aware of this, but they don't know necessarily its connection to brain health. So this was a kind of a connecting the dots for the community. And then we put it all together. The third message was just overall wellness, maintaining your overall health to promote a healthy brain, stay physically, mentally, socially active. So I would put these messages together, and then we had this great PR department and communication department. Oh, Felicia, we can make it real snazzy and this kind of thing. So they came up with what's good for the health is good for the, you know, good for the brain is good for the heart and all this kind of thing. So it kind of worked, and along with focus groups and other different community testing, we put hopefully culturally as well as appropriate messages in front of the population. In evaluating, we evaluate the coordinators who were the chapter workers or staff that put the intervention in at the local level, the strategic partners, and what we call the champions, the HBC or Healthy Brain Champions workshop participants. We did qualitative research, pretty much. We did interviews of the coordinators, the partners. We did focus groups of champions and strategic partners. We did this pre as well as post intervention. Quantitative, we did pre and post testing of the champions, what they did know, what they didn't know, and they all pretty much, like I said, they know about diabetes, blood pressure, and things like that, but when it came to connecting the dots with brain health, there was no information, very low test scoring there. Coordinators were two people that were hired out of Atlanta and Los Angeles. They worked for the chapters for a short time before they became stepped in as the coordinators. They were very experienced with working with the community in those particular cities, and they were trained. We brought them to Chicago and did a pretty intense training with them regarding brain health and running the intervention. Strategic partners, and I talked a little bit about this, these were community leaders, people who were invested in this particular community or topic in these particular cities. Atlanta had 30 partners, 15 of them were very involved and really wanted to see this work. They included staff from CBOs, healthcare providers, social workers, faith leaders, government people, political leaders in that particular city. Very good group, and I'm glad to say that many of these partnerships have sustained with the chapters, which was pretty much a goal of ours. Los Angeles, we had 14 really, again, community leaders. We had doctors, faith leaders, professors, researchers, and again, directors of CBOs, directors of senior centers that came together, again, came to monthly meetings and really established the intervention so that it could take off. So that was really a core part of what we were trying to do, is trying to involve the community from a community leader standpoint also. Although our target population was African American baby boomers, we would get senior citizens. We got less than half baby boomers in Atlanta. These workshops tend to attract females more than men. A lot of them had some education. Most of them were African American, and about half made about $60,000. Sometimes people think that's a lot of money, but I think for these particular urban centers, doesn't mean that you are rich, and it could be also supporting a family of four or grandchildren and everything else too. Los Angeles, about the same, overly female. We had 50% baby boomers. Again, some college, mostly African American. And again, about 60K was of about almost half the population. We got about 94 people to attend these workshops in August to October of 2008. And these were what happened in Atlanta. Atlanta did the workshops at different times throughout the summer, so they were kind of all over the place. Where we did see more of a snowball effect in Los Angeles, she would do a workshop, and then they would go back and tell people, oh, come back in 2 more weeks. Then she got more people, oh, come back in 2 more weeks, they're gonna do another one. So it really kind of took off, and she had 126 people. At the end of these workshops, there was a big community event that included the strategic partners as well as the people who attended, or the champions that attended these workshops. They had interactive sessions, they did line dancing, there was food demonstrations, how to make your particular diet that was a part of their particular culture a little bit more healthier, I should say, a lot more healthier. They did some exercise, some yoga, and each particular community did it based on what was going on in their community. At Los Angeles, things were a little bit more spicy, Hollywood kind of oriented, where Atlanta was more the Southern, the line dancing, and you know, more things like that. So even though it was geared to the same population, even within that population, there's diversity. Part of our research was not at all quantitative, so we did have these snippets when we were interviewing people. This was a strategic partner. We did have the group meetings, but we also had assignments. Like for the Healthy Brain Community event, we all had assignments to pull that together. And we would come back, the body would come back together and share what tasks we completed for getting out the activity for the community. Again, about the community event. This was a great event. I felt like the community could have come out more, but people that were there, they really seemed to enjoy it. They really got involved in the dancing exercise, and there was food demonstrations in there, and they were able to test different recipes, healthy cooking. So it was good. I think it was enjoyed by a lot of people, but even more people could have benefited from it. I don't know why more people weren't there. The area is that neighborhood is densely populated, so I don't know. I know more people could have been there. Another strategic partner. We are each committed to the success of this whole project. So not only were we there on an individual business participation, because they all represented their particular community organization, but we were all there at the community event. Then each of us interacted with the participants who were there for the general public in terms of just getting the involvement. We had a great time and with the line dancing. So some barriers. The research aspect of the project took 3 months, so that was a problem. Limited budget, we all have those type of issues. Limited support, again, due to budget. Lack of community understanding of brain health, nobody knew what that meant, okay? Lack of community understanding of healthy brain, nobody knew what that meant. And there was intense cultural perception of Alzheimer's in the African-American community. It doesn't exist here, you know, there's no Ronald Reagan, there's no Greta Garbo, there's no real person that they can put their hands on, although there's many famous African Americans who have died from Alzheimer's and cognitive impairment. And of course, lack of media and marketing exposure, which again goes to budget. I'll skip some of these. The grassroots thing has to do in conjunction with the media exposure, because if you have a whistle-stop tour in Philadelphia to DC, no one knows about it, then what good does that do? Yes, you're meeting those people along the way, but you have television cameras so that someone in California can see it, hear it, and maybe not hear the message, but at least know that it's going on. I think the two kind of need to go together hand in hand. So these are people talking, this is their direct words. They thought that we needed more media. Well,
it's kind of easier said than done.
Facilitators, the partners had a clear understanding of the intervention goals. Partners and champions had ongoing commitment. All participants had a deep understanding of the target audience, and there was consistent involvement by the community nature, community members, and the collaborative nature was very, very integral to the intervention. This was pretty important because this came up a number of times. I was real pleased that there was an interest in the African American community to improve the mental capacity so that they did not suffer for something that they didn't have to, that their general health could be improved. So I participated throughout for that reason because I was impressed. I said, if someone is going to do something for my community, then we ought to care enough to become more involved. And this was very important because even doing these focus groups a year or so ago, the Tuskegee study came up. Why are you guys here? Why are you doing this? Are you just gonna be here for a couple of months? It was kind of, it was touch and go. So when we got at least a partner or a leader to say, come on, let's do this. This is research, but it's the good kind. It seemed to be okay.
And I'm running out of time, so.
Lastly, did the workshop, I'm on 31, four more. Did the HBC workshops increase knowledge and awareness of brain health or intentions to engage in protective behaviors to help maintain overall health and potentially brain health? And yes, they did. People changed their intentions. They learned about brain health. They had high scores than they did when before this four-hour workshops. They came back and said, I'm exercising, I'm eating right. So I can't say they're still doing that, and if we had more money, I'd come back and really do a big evaluation and say, "What are you still doing these things? Do you have intentions to keep on doing it? Have you spread the word?" That would be, again, big, more money, okay? So we developed a curriculum, we've implemented these things in these particular cities, and the knowledge and awareness of brain health in African American was a population was achieved in these two particular pilot cities. Community members were empowered to tell people more about it, and we also developed a deepening of the Alzheimer's Association within these particular communities, which probably was not there at the beginning, as well as the coordinator served as a champion herself. Lastly, one of the successes that I would share is that we dare to be different. I think we really met the challenge like we've never done before because I've seen many presentations and then the same people come. We got a different population to respond, to listen, and to actually execute on some things and change the way they do things. So I think it was a great success in our population, although a small population still, and there's still more work to be done. That was a strategic partner. So that's my last slide. Thank you.